I'd like to join in welcoming everyone this afternoon, especially if you're visiting. We're glad that you came to be with us to study another lesson from God's Word. I hope we can say it's been profitable to be here today, not because of anything that anybody has said or done here today, but because of the realization that we have of who God is, what God is, and how mighty and awesome and worthy He is of our worship and glory and praise. And that is something that we should look forward to, these times when we can come together to worship God, and not only look forward to the times here, but when we can look forward to worshiping God for an eternity because of what He has done for us. So I hope we can say it's been good to be here. I want to again express my thanks for being invited to come and fill in today to try to present a couple lessons from God's Word. I've got some good news and some bad news. The bad news is I've got another textual lesson this afternoon, so if you didn't like the one this morning, it's going to be along the same lines. The good news is it's a lot less verses, because I know as congregations have moved meeting time from later in the evening up to middle of the afternoon, you get a big meal and you come back and you sit down and it's a little bit harder to concentrate. So hopefully the things we have to say this afternoon will be something that will be beneficial to you. Please open your Bible to Psalm chapter 23. This is a very well-known chapter of the Bible. It's often read at funeral services to give hope to people. There are just so many good lessons that apply to our everyday life from this. It's a very well-known psalm, but I want us to read through it, and in the few minutes that we have this afternoon, try to get several lessons from it. So let's begin Psalm chapter 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The title of the sermon is My Shepherd. And for the next few minutes, I would like to tell you about My Shepherd. This is probably one of the best known psalms there is, and it uses figurative language. The Lord is my shepherd. David is the writer, and he is speaking from a sheep's perspective. Sometimes if we tell somebody something point blank, they just don't get it. But sometimes if we give them the same information in a story form, they can relate to it. Now, unfortunately, many of us are not familiar with sheep, even though they are used repeatedly throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And if we don't understand the nature of sheep, we aren't going to fully understand the nature of the shepherd and my shepherd. Now, I'm not a sheep expert. However, I think that I am familiar enough with sheep that I can appreciate what David is writing, and I hope I can share a few things with you that hopefully will enlarge your appreciation for sheep, but more importantly, your appreciation for our shepherd. Also, with Psalm 23, we have a double layer of information running throughout this chapter. David is the shepherd. He's not only writing from his own experience, although he has done just about everything that he has written about, but everything that David has written about here is just a shadow of the same thing that his shepherd, God, does and will do for him. We have God the Father portrayed as the shepherd in the Old Testament, and we have God the Son portrayed as the shepherd, the good shepherd, in the New Testament. God the Father and God the Son, both portrayed as shepherds. Shepherds. People that lead. Not ranchers, people that drive, but shepherds that lovingly lead us through our life. And that is why the position of a shepherd is used to illustrate elders in the local church. The elders, the pastors, the shepherds that lovingly lead the flock, that lovingly tend the flock, and that lovingly feed the flock. The shepherd is used in the parable of Luke 15, 4 through 7 to show God's loving care to come and search for those that are lost. To search for you and to search for me. The shepherd personifies God's love and care for us. I like how David starts this psalm. He personalizes it. The Lord is my shepherd. God the Son, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, laid down his life for me. He knows his sheep by name. They hear and recognize his voice and follow him. And with that, there's an intimacy that exists between God and his children and between the shepherd and his sheep. Is that something that we can say about our shepherd, God, that there is an intimacy that exists between us? To know that God knows me by name and cares for me personally, that is something that should be very reassuring to us. It should bring us peace to my soul to know that God is my shepherd. God will gather his lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Isaiah 40:11. There's so much to say about this chapter, and it can be approached from different ways, but this is just going to be a brief introduction, a few comments to my shepherd. And first, again, to say that the Lord is my shepherd is to imply that I am his sheep, and there is a relationship that exists between a shepherd and his sheep. And to sum up that relationship in one word, I think that word should be trust. It's something where there's time spent together and they can trust each other. The sheep can trust the shepherd. You know, there are many things in this world that we cannot trust right now. Life is very uncertain. You look at the economy, you hear from day to day all kinds of predictions as to what will happen. You look at our jobs, you think about what Dayton was like 10 or 15 years ago and look at it now. You think about the housing market. So many people have lost their homes. They're upside down in their homes. They've lost their jobs. There's threats of war. There's all the uncertainty of health care. There's just, you name it, things are up in the air right now where there's a lot of uncertainty in life. However, we need to be able to trust some things and some people and someone. Who is that someone? My shepherd. We can trust my shepherd. One of the reasons it's easy for me to trust my shepherd is because my shepherd is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We don't have to worry about his mood changing. We don't have to worry about his character changing. We don't have to worry about his promises changing. Just think about maybe some people that you have worked for. They promised you one thing only to say, well, I'm sorry, but now it's going to be this. Sorry, you worked all of these years and I promised you this. You aren't going to get this. Now you're going to get this. Or some person you put your faith and trust in and they let you down. God, our shepherd, is not going to do that. He is unchanging. Whatever he says, we can count on. My shepherd is steadfast and dependable and sure. You know, there are just so many things people wonder and worry about all the time. And something I hear asked a dozen times a day, what's the weather doing? What's the weather doing? You know, my shepherd doesn't have to check the weather to see if it's going to be sunny or rainy or snowing. My shepherd makes the weather. He is in charge of things. And I need to remind myself of that often. My shepherd is in control. You know, I often worry and I wonder what is going to happen. But I need to remind myself that my shepherd can sleep through the storm, whatever that storm is going on in our lives, and then he can wake up and he can calm that storm with but a word. That is my shepherd. My shepherd will provide for me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My shepherd's provisions are abundant compared to my needs. And what do we really need in life? Not much, but he provides for them. Let's look in verse 2. Well, back in 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. In verse 2, notice two pronouns and two verbs. He makes and he leads. My shepherd is leading me from a place of need to a place of satisfying my needs. And I said needs, not wants. And when our needs are met, we should say, as David said, I shall not want. I read something this week that said the average person is exposed to approximately 3,000 ads a day. And as I was reading that, on an internet email that had all of these ads scrolling down along the side. It said 3,000 ads a day, 20,000 ads a week. Now, not everybody sees that, but we do live in the information age. Especially if you're online looking at things, on the radio you hear things, on TV, we are constantly bombarded with advertisements. And what do those advertisements tell us? Everything is okay? You've got everything you need? No. They try to make us discontent. They try to get us to buy things. We are bombarded every day with people trying to make us discontent to spend our time and money to buy their product. But my shepherd will provide for me. And when my needs are met, I shall not want. My shepherd is in charge. He takes action. You know, he is not sitting somewhere passively watching events unfold. He is unfolding the events. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And think of this phrase, green pastures. Were the pastures of Judea like the pastures of Ohio? No, not at all. Green pastures were not natural. Judea is a rough, hilly place. My shepherd would have to prepare a pasture for a sheep. My shepherd would have to clear out the thorn bushes, take away the brush, he'd have to remove the rocks, have to irrigate the area, and prepare the soil to make pasture grow. My shepherd has prepared a pasture for me. He makes me to lie down there. God leads me out of a spiritual wasteland and deserts to a place of spiritual fulfillment. And are we aware of what God is doing in our life? When you just stop and think about that, we look back and we'll look at somebody like Joseph and think of the providence of God, and you see, yeah, you can see where God led Joseph here and Joseph there and Joseph over here. But God is doing the same thing with us. He's preparing a place for us, and he's leading us there. And again, looking at these two different levels, part of it is for our own physical needs, but a greater part of it is for our spiritual needs and spiritual fulfillment as he is leading us. And just think of the term green pastures. Friends, we need to learn this lesson early in life. just what are green pastures? Green pastures is that pasture within the fence and boundary that God has created. But what does the world tell us? The green pasture is on the other side of that fence. God has prepared a green pasture for us and put a fence around there, not so that we can't get out, but to protect us, to keep us in. So His provisions will be abundant for us. We don't need to look at the pasture on the other side of that fence. That's poison. And if we partake of that pasture, we're going to die. It's going to be certain spiritual death. Okay, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet water. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. In verse 3, when it talks about my shepherd restores my soul, sheep are not an aggressive animal. They are timid. Other animals will frighten them. A sheep can be spooked. A sheep can be upset. And they will scatter. Or when the shepherd is attacked, the sheep will scatter. And just like the sheep, I can be frightened in this life. I can be spooked in this life. And I can be upset in this life. But my shepherd can restore my soul. This word restore is a great blessing for me. Restore means to refresh. When my spirit is exhausted or weary or sad, God quickens my spirit. God restores my soul. When I am drained and exhausted from everyday life, now, does anybody here get drained or exhausted from everyday life? How do we restore our soul? Do we look for other ways other than God, our shepherd? He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. You know, the world will tell you just about every way to get refreshed, every way to feel better, except the way that God intended us for us to be refreshed. In verse 3, it says, my shepherd guides me in the paths of righteousness. You know, my shepherd isn't behind me pushing me. My shepherd isn't way out ahead of me yelling at me, come on, hurry up. My shepherd is guiding me each step of the way. Let's go this way. Okay, now watch out. Don't go over there. He's guiding me each step. You know, there are so many songs that come to mind thinking of this psalm. And one, Harold, I can remember you singing so many times, each step I take. You know, my Savior goes before me. He's leading the way. He is with us each day. Our shepherd is leading us each step we take until one day that last step shall be taken. He is with us. He is going before us, and with His loving hand, He leads the way. My shepherd guides me in the paths of righteousness. I cannot find the path of righteousness on my own. You know, you can see people in the world looking for it, but we can't find it on our own. Our shepherd is going to guide me there. As a sheep, I might wander, I might stray, but my shepherd keeps me on the right path, the path of righteousness. And you know, when we're on that path, we all wander. Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned his own way. And that's another reason why we're compared to sheep, because we wander. But you know one of the dangers of that? When we wander, there's a predator out there waiting for us to wander off that path. There's a roaring lion out there seeking to devour us when we get off that path. But my shepherd guides me in the right path to keep me safe. My shepherd is the good shepherd that will risk his life to save one straying sheep. My shepherd is the one that risked his life to save me. There's a song I want to read the words to. It says, "There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99, are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made an answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found a sheep that was lost. Far out in the desert he heard its cry. 'Twas sick and helpless and ready to die. 'Twas sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that marks out the mountain's track? They were shed for one who had gone astray, ere the shepherd could bring them back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. But all through the mountains, thunder-riven, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a glad cry from the gate of heaven, 'Rejoice, for I have found my sheep.' And the angels echoed around the throne, 'Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own.'" Friends, that's every one of us. That's every one of us that was lost and off that path and out there. And our shepherd went looking for us to bring us back to that fold of safety. It's a beautiful story. It's a story about you and me. When I wandered off, my shepherd found me. When I fall, my shepherd carries me. When I hurt, my shepherd heals me. Notice what my shepherd has done so far. My shepherd guides. My shepherd provides. My shepherd heals the brokenhearted and the sick. My shepherd leads. In verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The shepherd must now lead a sheep to new pastures. The sheep must leave the safety of the pasture that they've been enjoying and go on to a journey to new pastures. A journey which is going to involve some danger. And to digress for a minute, we can understand how God prepares us for new pasture. And sometimes that preparation isn't easy. The young shepherd boy, David, he had to do battle with a lion and a bear. But we can see how God taught David lessons using sheep so that David would have an understanding to lead God's people. And when I, as a sheep, see my shepherd uses rod and staff to defend and protect me from the one that would destroy and devour me, when I see that in my life, that gives me great comfort. Now, get this picture in your mind. David is leading the sheep out of the pasture of the flatlands. The pasture is bare. He's leading them through the gate, through the valley, and onward to higher ground. And that is why David, from a sheep's perspective, writing of a shepherd, says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." David had the ability and the experience to accomplish that with his sheep, to lead them out, to lead them to a place of safety. How much greater is my shepherd, Jesus Christ, that I can say as David, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." David had that relationship with his sheep, that intimacy, that trust, where they would lead him through those places of danger and he would protect them. And we can understand that. Do we miss that in our own life with God leading us through some of the trials that we face? Verse 5 says, "Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil." The terrain in Judea was not like terrain around us. In Judea, you had hills, and you had valleys, and you had flat areas in between that was called flat tableland. Another song that we sing, and again, not being familiar with this, we may sing things and not even realize what we're singing, but it says, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That's that table that was prepared. The pasture, he's going from the pasture of the lowland through the valley up to this higher ground, to this tableland. Jesus, as my shepherd, prepared a pasture for me in the safety of the valley. Now he's preparing a pasture for me in the tableland in the presence of my enemies, because there is danger, but again, he's prepared for me. Now, David's sheep would have faced enemies like wild animals, bears, coyotes, wolves, even lions. And I might face enemies just as dangerous, not necessarily physical enemies like that. My enemies might be apathy, discouragement, indifference, rebellion. What good would it do for a shepherd to lead his sheep out of a fold of safety, out of a pasture, to lead them through the valley, to lead them up to the higher ground, and then not to make provisions for caring them, for protecting them from their enemies? But my shepherd provides for me from the biggest enemy, which is, I believe, referring to thy rod and thy staff, down to the smallest enemy, which I believe is referring to thou anointest my head with oil. Now, you can read different interpretations of this from different commentaries. I think some of the commentators, again, weren't familiar with sheep. Some of the enemies that sheep face are large predator animals. Other enemies that sheep face are small insects. Insects like flies, and these flies will look for a soft membrane to lay their eggs. And if you haven't been around sheep, you won't know this, but what they will do is they will fly into a sheep's nose and lay those eggs in there that they hatch into this worm-like larva, which we would call maggots. Now, that's a small insect, a small thing, but it will drive sheep crazy. Sheep will butt heads till they bleed. Sheep will run into a fence. They'll do anything to try to get those worms out of their nose, out of their head, because it drives them insane. What does my shepherd do? He anoints my head with oil. That oil was to protect the sheep from those insects, from those enemies. He protects the sheep from the biggest enemy with thy rod and thy staff, down to the smallest one. Thou anointest my head with oil. You know, there are many predators that are trying to come after us and devour us. But my shepherd, our shepherd, will provide for us. In verse 6, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When I read this, I always wonder which was written first, Psalm 23 or 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 5. Now I imagine this psalm was written later in David's life when he had grown old enough to have enemies, like in verse 5, and to have experienced the threat of death from his enemies, like in verse 4. Let's turn back to 2 Samuel 12 for a minute. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, 'There are two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich had a great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished. And he grew up together with him and his children. It would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom, and was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock or his own herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. Rather, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger burned greatly against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die.'" To a shepherd, sheep were not just livestock. They became like part of the family. And for a minute to go back to the shepherd knows them by name. You know, I heard a story once. There were two shepherds with their flock, and they were out pasturing their flock. A thunderstorm came up, a downpour. There was a cave nearby. Both of the shepherds went into the cave, took their sheep with them, and all the sheep were mingled together in there. The storm stopped, and the shepherds were talking, "How are we going to figure out which are your sheep and which are my sheep?" And after a minute, one shepherd said, "I know." And he went outside, and he called his sheep, and his sheep came, because his sheep knew his voice. But back to this story that Nathan told David of this relationship that this man had with this one ewe lamb. Some of the sheep become part of the shepherd's family, and it's not even a day uncommon on a cold winter's night to bring a baby lamb into the warmth and comfort of the shepherd's house, to nourish it and to keep it warm and to keep it safe and to keep it alive. Now, this story of David and Nathan is part of what I was alluding to earlier. David could relate to this illustration that the prophet Nathan was using, and David was outraged when a neighbor took a little ewe lamb, which is a female, out from under the protection of the shepherd's roof and neighbor, and used this little ewe lamb for his own pleasure. My guess is David wrote Psalm 23 after he had stolen the little ewe lamb, Bathsheba, from his neighbor, and used her for his own pleasure. My guess is also that David's heart was broken for this action. And when he writes this psalm, writing as a sheep and knowing his shepherd, David can confidently say, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My heavenly shepherd is going to protect me and keep me safe." Friends, can you confidently say tonight, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever"? Do you think that you can escape the predators of this life? Do you want to enjoy the blessings and protection that my shepherd can provide? Friends, if you've not been added to the flock, you need to do so. You need to do so today. You need to be washed in the blood of Christ. My shepherd will not let sheep that are not of his own live with him forever. You have to be part of the flock. Friends, won't you be obedient to the shepherd's call and come forward as we stand and sing?